you so much. God bless you. Wow. Unbelievable. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Good. Okay. Thank you so much. God bless you. Boy, the music has been tremendous this morning. Thank God for the good spirit. I praise the Lord for the privilege of being here this morning. All right. How many of you brought your Bible? Will you hold up the Bible all over the building? Thank God for the Bible. Amen. All right. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, this morning. And I want you to open them to the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. The book of Genesis, chapter number 5 this morning. And also the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Genesis, chapter 5, and the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I want to read just a couple of portions of the Word of God. And then I want to kind of just pick out a little thought from the book of Hebrews and preach it from the book of Genesis. All right? And it's good to see you. Thank you so much. Not that you had a choice, but I'm glad you're here. And it's always good. I've enjoyed every time I've ever been here. Pastor, thank you so much for the invitation. And Brother Douglas, they have been so kind and so gracious. This is a hospitable place. And I appreciate just the opportunity to have a connection here. And I love Brother Young and thank God for him. And I love y'all and thank you for the great spirit. And most of all, I love Jesus. Boy, I'm glad for the Holy Spirit. And to thank God, even though we may not know each other, there's a kindred spirit among us because we know Jesus. Amen. And we're part of the family. And it's just good to come this way and get to meet some more of our family. So pray for us this morning, if you will. I want to kind of just try to preach real fast. I am from the country. I'm from North Carolina. And I was in the preacher's class yesterday, and I may have made mention of this, but I still live on a dirt road. I mean, there's, they don't even pave the roads where I live at, and we have no street lights in our area. There are cows in the back of our house. I mean, I live in the country, and I love living in the country. However, I was told this about a place just a couple of hours south from us, that this was a true story. This grandson drives a long distance and goes and sees his grandpa. When he gets there, it's kind of on up in the evening, and they just sat on the front porch, and they're rocking and just kind of sharing memories and talking about things. And before they know it, the sun has already come up the next morning. And the grandpa looks at his grandson and says, I'm getting hungry. I think I'm going to go fix me something to eat. You want something? He said, Grandpa? He said, sure. And so the grandpa went in and fried some bacon and some eggs and fixed some biscuits. And sat it down before the grandson. And he got to, mashing things around, moving stuff around. And he felt some hard, crusty stuff on the bottom of the plate. And he said, Grandpa, he said, are these plates clean? And he said, well, son, they're as clean as cold water can get them. And so they ate. He kind of scarfed it down. And then they went back out and sat on the porch some more. Lunchtime came. And he said, well, I think I'm going to fry me a cheeseburger. Papa did. He said, would you like one? He said, yeah. So his grandpa went and fixed a cheeseburger and sat it down a plate before him. And once again, he kind of got to moving stuff around. There was some hard, crusty stuff on the plate. And he said, Papa, are you sure these plates are clean? He said, son, they're as clean as cold water can get them. So they ate, had a good time, fellowship. So finally he said, Papa, I think I'm going to run up to town a little bit. And he said, well, that'll be fine. I'll be here when you get back. So he started toward his car. And his papa's dog got between him and his car, his hair standing up on the back of his head. And he couldn't get to his car, so he hollered. He said, hey, Papa. He said, if I'm going to get in my car, you're going to have to call your dog. And Papa said, come here, cold water. Come here, boy. I guess you got to be from the country to appreciate that. All right. When better jokes are written, better jokes will be told. All right. Anyway. All right. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis 5. Look, if you will, at verse 21. Let me read just 4 or 5 verses here. Keep your Bibles open and follow me along, if you will. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible said, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now join me over the book of Hebrews, just a little further commentary on the life of Enoch. Here's what the Bible said, verse 5, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Great word, translated. We get our English word metamorphosis from that. He had translated him. For before his translation, there's the word again, he had this, what's the next word? Testimony. That he pleased God. For just a few moments this morning, I want to preach on this thought, the testimony of Enoch. Let's pray. Father, would you bless your word? Thank you for the good singing, the great spirit. Thank you for the privilege to be in chapel this morning. Would you bless the time that we have before us? And Jesus, in advance, we want to thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis chapter number 6, we have one of the great mysteries, and I guess I could probably say along with that, one of the great controversies that are found in the Word of God. For instance, in Genesis chapter 6, we have the story of the sons of God who went into the daughters of men. And the result of that kind of relationship produced a generation of giants here upon the earth in Genesis chapter 6. And a lot of times people speculate over who the sons of God were and who these giants were of Genesis chapter 6. Now, I have my opinion. You probably have your opinion. With my opinion, 75 cents, you can probably get a can of Coke out of the drink machine. There's a lot of opinion, a lot of speculation, and there's been a lot of controversy through the years over who the giants of Genesis 6 were. But in our attempts to define the giants of Genesis chapter 6, I think we've overlooked the fact that there's a giant mentioned back in Genesis chapter 5. His name, he is a giant by the name of Old Enoch. Now, Genesis chapter 5 has been called by many the obituary column of the Bible. Because over and over in Genesis 5, we read the phrase, and he died. And by the way, that phrase is proof positive that whatever God said will always be true, and whatever the devil says will be a lie. Because you may remember back in chapter 3, God told Adam and Eve, chapter 2, chapter 3, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then, of course, the devil comes along and says to Eve, ye shall not surely die. Well, what's the result? Who was right? Well, Genesis 5, over and over and over again, we read, and he died. Romans 3, verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, 22, as in Christ, as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Whatever God says, hey, take it to the bank, write checks on it, it'll always be true. But in Genesis chapter 5, we run into a man that left this earth without dying. Yeah, his name, the Bible says his name was Enoch. And we read in verse number 24 that he was, and he was not, for God took him. He left the world without dying. Maybe I could say it like this. Enoch, as Noah in the ark, is a picture in Genesis 6 of the nation of Israel being preserved through the time of turmoil and tribulation. Enoch is a picture of the church being rescued off the earth prior to the beginning of the tribulation period. Aren't you glad that we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture? I find no comfort whatsoever in a mid-trib or a post-trib rapture. But I find great comfort in the fact that before it ever starts, God's going to come down and take His people off this earth. Somebody said it like this. Russia had their cosmonauts. And America has their astronauts, but thank God, God has His was-nots. And some of these days, everybody in this room that is saved by the grace of God is going to be a was and a was-not. Now, of course, when we come to the life of Enoch, there are two great statements made about his life. The first statement is this, that he walked with God. Look at verse 22, and Enoch walked with God. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. What a great statement. He walked with God. And then we read over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, that he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know something? Living in 2017, kind of toward the end of the year, if there's two things you and I really ought to aspire to do, is to number one, walk with God. And then number two, have the kind of testimony that pleases the Lord. That's kind of what I want to shoot for in my life at the age of 54. I'm kind of, I guess, getting toward the end now. I don't know how much longer I've got to live, but I'll tell you, in the days that God gives me here on the earth, two things I hope I can accomplish. Number one, to walk with God, and number two, to have the kind of testimony that pleases the Lord. Now, I could say much about old Enoch this morning. For instance, I could talk a little bit about the times of Enoch, and I'll say something about that a little bit later. I could talk a little bit about the turnabout of Enoch, and I'm going to say something about that in just a few moments. I could even talk about the translation of Enoch, and I'll maybe mention something about that, but what I want to focus on this morning is the testimony of old Enoch. Now, normally, I'm from the South. I don't know how things operate in this part of the country, but normally in our area, You know, somebody occasionally before preaching service will stand up and say, "Preacher, before you preach, can I give a word of testimony?" And they'll take a few minutes and they'll talk about an answered prayer or how that God's met a need in their life. And we call that giving their testimony. But I got to thinking about that one day. You know, in reality, your testimony is not so much as what you say as it is what you are and how you live. I looked up the word testimony in the thesaurus, and here's what it says. Here's a few synonyms for the word testimony. It says a demonstration or an evidence or a witness or an indication or a verification. So in other words, your testimony is a demonstration, an evidence, a witness, an indication, a verification that you are and who you are as a child of God. You see, your testimony defines and verifies you as being a child of God. And everybody in this room that is saved has a testimony. Now, you may have a good testimony. By the way, I hope everybody does. And then your testimony may be a little bit shaky because of some of the things you're involved in. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. Everybody has a testimony. What kind of testimony do you have? But I got to thinking about that word testimony. Now watch this, and here's my message. I got to thinking about that word testimony, and here's what came to me. A testimony is first a test and then an emoni. Does that make sense? In other words, if you and I are going to have a testimony that pleases God, we're going to be put to the test. There are some tests for your testimony. And I want to show you this morning, if I can, using the Word of God, can I show you three tests that the testimony of Enoch went through? And the Bible said in the final analysis, when the test was over, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Three tests. First of all, I want you to notice in our text now, Genesis 5, and I put this down, number one, Enoch's testimony stood, number one, the test of time. The test of time. Now, the first time that we run into old Enoch here in our text, in verse 21, he is 65 years old. Now, I think prior to this text about Enoch, I think pretty much he's living just like everybody else is living in Genesis chapter number 5. I mean, he's just content just to live life, make a living, squeak by, feed his family, whatever, make enough to get by, and just to one day realize life's going to be over and he's going to be dead and he's going to be gone. You know, that's the way a lot of people are living in this day and age in which you and I are in today. They're just trying to get by, trying to make enough money to pay their bills, feed their family, whatever, and then one day they got to look forward to just dying, and that's all there is to it. But aren't you glad, as a child of God, there's more to it than just that? And here's old Enoch. He is 65 years old. The Bible states in verse 65, Enoch lived 65 years. Now here he is, the first 65 years of his life, and there's no pursuit, there's no longing, there's no desire for the things of God. A lot of people in our world today are living with no pursuit, no desire, no longing for the things of God. But something happened to old Enoch at the age of 65, and what happened is this. Enoch became a dad at the age of 65. Now, most of us are joining up with AARP, and man, our diaper hanging out days are over with at the age of 65. But at the age of 65, here's old Enoch, and he's just starting to have his first baby, putting storks in the yard, hanging diapers out on the clothesline. At the age of 65, Enoch has a baby boy. But at the age of 65, along with that baby boy came, watch this now, came a turnabout in the life of Enoch. Yeah, I want to tell you something. At the age of 65, when Methuselah was born, God broke through the deadness and the darkness of Enoch's heart. And God revealed himself to Enoch through the birth of this baby. And at the age of 65, let me say it like this. At the age of 65, Enoch walked in to the family of God. Now you say, "Preacher, how'd all that come about?" Well, you got to understand, back in Bible days, names meant something. Now, of course, in our day, we just slap a name on somebody because we like it. But in Bible days, they named their children because names had a real meaning. I heard about this burglar one night broke into this home. He didn't realize the husband and the wife was there. And so, he was just as surprised to see them laying in the bed watching TV as they were to see him creeping inside their bedroom. So when he saw them, he said, "I hate to tell y'all this," the burglar did, "but I got to kill y'all." But he said, "Before I kill you," he said, "what's your name?" So he looks at the woman and said, "Ma'am, what's your name?" She said, "My name's Elizabeth."
He said, oh, I can't shoot you. He said, my mama's name was Elizabeth. I got to let you live. He looked at her husband, said, what's your name? He said, well, my name's Harry, but my friends call me Elizabeth. You see, back in Bible days, names had a meaning. And the Bible said that when Enoch's boy was born at the age of 65, that he named him Methuselah. Now, of course, we know Methuselah is the oldest man that ever lived. We know he lived to be 969 years old. But more than that, the name Methuselah means this: when he is gone, it will come. You say, preacher, what's that mean? When he is gone, it will come. It's talking about the great flood in the days of Noah. So what happened when Methuselah was born, God broke through the deadness and the darkness of Enoch's heart with a message of divine judgment, and God told Enoch through the birth of that baby, now when this baby's gone, the judgment of God is going to come, and it was through the message of judgment that Enoch walked in to the family of God. Hey, I know in our day they're telling us anymore. Now, don't preach about judgment. You don't preach about hellfire and damnation and brimstone. And stay away from those topics in this seeker-sensitive, seeker-friendly age. You want to be positive and you want to be uplifting and encouraging. But can I tell you something? The reason I got saved was not because some preacher stood up and tried to encourage me and to be positive and uplifting. Thank God for an old leather-lunged Baptist preacher that preached me to hell and back. And the reason I got saved, at least initially, is because I didn't want to go to hell, friend. Don't tell me that old-fashioned hellfire damnation preaching won't do it anymore. I got born again. Hey, I walked into the family of God because somebody told me underneath my feet there's a place called hell, and the way that I got to get there is to reject God's Son. And thank God, God broke through the deadness and the darkness of my heart with a message of divine judgment. And at the age of 16, I walked into the family of God. And let me say this, I'm 54 now. So I'm almost 38 years on the other side of Calvary. And let me tell you something, I appreciate the love of God now. And I appreciate the grace of God. But initially, what brought me into the family was the fact I didn't want to go to hell. I was condemned. And thank God when I received Jesus. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ. I said that to say this. He walked in at the age of 65. Now watch this. And at the age of 365, watch this. He walked out. Yeah, that's what the Bible said. Look at verse 24. Enoch walked with God. The Bible said in verse 23, all the days of Enoch, 365 years, Enoch walked with God. He was not, forgot to. So he walked in at 65, and he walked out at 365. By the way, can I encourage you just a little bit this morning, telling y'all that we're getting ready to walk out? Yeah. Amen. I got some good news for you, friend. Jesus is getting ready to come. Hey, and all that we're seeing going on in our world today is nothing more than indications. They're contractions, just like a mother before she has a child, that those contractions become more frequent and more in intensity. And brother, I'm telling you something, our world today is going through the birthing pains, the contraction pains. They're increasing in frequency and intensity. And the world is telling us, hey, you better get ready. Jesus is coming soon. Hey, I tell you, for those of us, thank God that walked in, we're getting ready to walk out one of these days. Let me say it like an old country preacher back home says it. He says, when Jesus comes, it's going to be hemisphere, stratmosphere, hemisphere, stratosphere, and out of here. Hey, we're getting ready to leave, friend. We're getting ready to walk out. I'm glad for the day I walked in, but don't be surprised if someday soon, those of us that have been washed in the blood of Jesus and indwelt by the Spirit of God, don't be surprised if we don't walk out real soon. Yes, sir. Jesus, I used to think when Jesus come, I knew exactly what he was going to say. Revelation 4:1, I thought he's going to say, come up here. But I've changed my mind about that a little bit. You know what I think he's going to say now? I think he's going to say this: attention, Walmart shoppers. You know what? We all go to Walmart, don't we? If it wasn't for Walmart, the Aaron Gifter program, I don't know what independent Baptists would do for fun, do you? But I tell you what, bless your heart, if you walked in, hey, we're getting ready to walk out. But did you notice this? From the time that he walked in at 65 to the time that he walked out at 365, he walked on for the glory of God. For 300 years, Enoch walked on. Hey, I'm telling you, even in a day when many were walking off, Enoch walked on. But we're living in a day when a whole lot of people, they're walking off. They're turning their back on old-time religion. They're looking for something new, something more modern, something a little bit more, you know, contemporary. And many are walking off. But I'll tell you, bless your heart, I done walked in. I'm looking forward to walking out. But by the help and by the grace of God, but between the time of in and out, I want to walk on for the glory of God. I'll never live to be 365 years old, but if I do make it to 70 or 75 or 80 or even 85, or by the mercy and the grace and the patience of Almighty God, if I make it to 90 and I'm sitting in a wheelchair with no teeth in my mouth in a rest home somewhere, and you come up to me, "Hey, Brother Tim, I remember you. I hope I can come up to you, roll over to you with not a tooth in my head, say, man, God, amen, amen, Lord." Hey, I tell you, I want to walk on in between the time I walked in and I walked out. Hey, what about you? Hey, time told on Enoch that what he had was real. Time told on him that he was dedicated. Time told on him that he wasn't a fly by night. Time told on him that he wasn't one of those that's going to walk in and then walk off. No, sir. Time said of Enoch, by the help and the grace of God, I'll walk on till Jesus comes. Hey, what's time going to tell on you? What about 10 years if he don't come? And I do believe he is, but if he don't. In 10 years, what's time going to say about you? I remember, I'll tell this quick, but I got saved when I was 16 years old. And you got to understand, and I still struggle with this a lot, but I was so backward and so shy, I couldn't look you in the eye. I honestly, I was so introverted, so country, backward. I mean, I walked around, I stared at my feet. I couldn't look. So when I got 16 years old, the Lord saved me. And then at the age of 18, I got under the influence of an old preacher, an old-time Baptist preacher. And that man took me under his wings, and he began to instruct me and help me. And just a few months after being under the influence of that man of God, God called me to preach at the age of 18. You don't think God has a sense of humor. Look right here, man. God has a big sense of humor. So at the age of 18, in a fall revival meeting on, of all nights, Halloween night, I walked down the aisle in our church, knelt at the altar, and told the Lord, "If you want me to do this, now, Lord, you know what you're getting. Now, just be honest with you, Lord, I think you're making a big mistake. But, Lord, if this is what you want, I'll do it." Well, I was there praying, and this man by the name of Joe Quessenberry stepped up next to me and put his arm around me and started praying. He said, "Is there anything I have to pray about?" I said, "Brother Joe, the Lord has called me to preach." Now, right at that point, I'm needing a word of encouragement. I'm needing something to help me. He looked at me and he said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yes, sir. Brother Joe, the Lord's called me to preach." I said, "I'm just surprised as bad as you are. I'm shocked." But he said, "Don't you say a word till you talk to the preacher." Well, immediately after church, when the invitation was over and church was over, I went and found a preacher. I said, "Brother Bill, can I talk to you?" He said, "Yes, sir." We went in the Sunday school room and shut the door. And he said, "What's going on?" I said, "Brother Bill, the Lord has called me to preach." Now, I'm expecting a good word of encouragement from my preacher. You know what he looked at me and said? "Are you sure?" My own preacher said that to me. And I said, "Yes, sir. I'm sure as I can be. God's called me to preach." He said, "Okay." He said, "If God's called you to preach, I'm going to let you preach." So on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving of that year, 1981, I preached my first message. I had about 21 pages of notes. I was going to preach on hell that night. Had 21 points, 21 pages. I got done about 3 minutes. I know some people wish I'd go back to them 3-minute sermons too. But I got done about 3 minutes. And Brother Bill got up and said, "I tell you, bless your heart, that's the best first sermon I ever heard in my life." I said, "You're the biggest liar I've ever heard in my life too." He said, "Brother Tim's going to be down at the front. Y'all come around and shake his hand." And they did, and they were so kind. So when service was over, and I told you that to tell you this, I was going out the side door of that little mountain church. There was an old preacher and a deacon in front of me, Frank Meadows and Harvey Johnson. Brother Frank pastored up in Flint, Michigan for years. And he left the cold weather and moved to North Carolina. And they were in front of me, had no idea I was behind them. And as I walked out that side door, Brother Frank looked at the deacon, Brother Harvey, and they were talking. And Brother Harvey looked back at Brother Frank and said, "You know, didn't even know I was listening. It's hard to believe that God would call somebody like that to preach." And I never will forget what Brother Frank, the pastor, said. He looked back at the deacon and he said, "Well," he said, "I guess time will tell." Boy, I'll tell you, God used that night. to put a determination in my heart that, bless the Lord, no matter how long that I live, I want time to tell on me that what I had was real, that I was not some fly-by-night, fly-in, fly-up, blow-in, blow-up, blow-out kind of a person, that I was not just in it for the short haul or what I could get out of the ministry, that I was here through the thick and the thin and the up and the down and the good and the bad and the ons and the off and the colds and the hot. By the help of God, I want to walk on. I've walked in. I'm getting ready to walk out, but I want time to tell on me that while I've been in this world, that I walked on for the glory. What's time going to tell about you? Testimony stood the test of time. Boy, I've got to hurry. Can I say number two? That his testimony stood the test of temptations. Oh, yeah. You better know there was temptations on every hand in Enoch's day. I mean, he lived in those days prior to the days of the flood. You remember even Jesus said this about those days, as the days of Noah were, so shall it also be. And then he talked about they were eating and drinking, Matthew 24:37, eating and drinking and marrying. I mean, Jesus said, well, those were wicked days. I mean, those were ungodly times. And right in the middle of all that was an old boy that was trying to live for God. Yeah. It was an old boy, watch this now, who was marching to the beat of a different drum. There was an old boy that didn't drink their liquor. There was an old boy that wouldn't fill with their lust. There was an old boy that made up his mind that he was going to serve God and try to please God. And by the way, he did it without a whole lot of encouragement. I don't read anything Genesis 5 about men's meetings anywhere. I don't read anything Genesis 5 about the churches having revival so we could visit a church and get a little bit of courage. They didn't have youth meetings, youth revivals, youth conferences. They didn't have teen camp meetings. There was no such thing back in those days. So there wasn't a whole lot of encouragement. But here's an old boy living in days when there wasn't much encouragement, but he made up his mind, y'all do what you want to. You can turn your back, live like you want to live, drink your liquor, use your filthy language, get filled with your lust if that's what you want to. But by the help and the grace of God, I'm going to stay clean. I'm going to stay right. I'm going to stay pure. I'm going to love Jesus. I'm going to do right regardless of what everybody else is doing. I want my testimony to stand the test of temptations. Boy, we're living in ungodly times, aren't we? And watch this. I want to make a statement about Enoch. Sin was at his fingertips. You go back chapter 4, old Lamech had two wives. I mean, man, it's just going on. The first murder. I mean, it's wicked, ungodly time. And whatever his heart desired, sinfully, fleshly, all he had to do was reach for it. It was at the end of his fingertips. Watch this. Boy, aren't we living in days when sin is at the end of our fingertips? I know cell phones are neither good nor bad. They're neutral. That's how we use them. But Pastor, and I know you've dealt with this too, but I can't even tell you the messes that have been brought into families because somebody got in some old place, whatever you call it, some old ungodly place with their fingers, started pulling up garbage and fed their mind with that trash until they finally got so full of it they started trying to act it out, and marriages have been destroyed. You know why? Sin's at our fingertips. You better be careful what you put on your phone. You better be careful what you look at when nobody else is around. Hey, I'll tell you something. You'll ruin your testimony, destroy your life. You'll self-destruct. Get your mind full of that garbage. It will destroy you. His testimony, it stood the test of temptations. And he did it without a whole lot of encouragement. But I tell you what, if he could do it, I can. If old Enoch could walk with God in terrible days, I'd do it. If old Enoch could have a testimony that he pleased God, I can too. Because I got a lot more encouragement than Enoch had, because we have two or three revivals a year at our church, and we have meetings like this and camp meetings and revival meetings. I'll tell you what, if he can do it without encouragement, I can do it with encouragement. His testimony stood the test of temptations. I'm going to tell you something. There needs to be some young men in this room this morning that makes up their mind by the help and the grace of God. I ain't going to get caught up in that garbage. Needs to be some young people in this room this morning. Make up their mind. Hey, y'all, I don't care. You can do what you want to do. You got friends that's involved. They go here, they go there. Hey, but just because they do it don't mean that you have to. You can go and live for God even in the midst of ungodly times. His testimony stood the test of temptations. And I'm done, but let me close with this. His testimony stood the test of troubles. You got troubles? Can I talk a little bit southern? Y'all got troubles? Boy, I got them. Oh, yeah. You say, preacher, our text doesn't say anything about troubles. Oh, yeah, it did. You may have missed it. But look what it says here in verse 22. He walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And notice this next phrase. And begat sons and daughters. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somebody said the only fellow in the whole world's got all of his problems behind him is a school bus driver. We all got trouble, man. That's exactly right. We all got problems. We all got troubles. I'm going to tell you something. You say, I don't think he had trouble. Can you imagine trying to bring a family of a bunch of teenagers? Somebody said when you get teenagers in your family, you kind of understand why some of the animals eat their young. I mean, can I get a witness there? But can you just imagine the troubles that he had trying to bring up sons and daughters in the days of Noah? Can you imagine the struggles and the nights that he cried himself to sleep? I said all that to say, boy, Enoch, he had a testimony. And troubles couldn't affect his testimony. As the pastor said a moment ago, those troubles just elevated him up. Those troubles made him a little bit more dependent on the Lord. And in spite of his troubles, he went on and he had a testimony that he pleased God. I don't know who all's in this room this morning, and you're young, but you know in just a few years the doctor may say you have cancer. You may get married and your spouse be taken away suddenly and tragically in some kind of a terrible incident. Your mom or dad may be very sick, and before long, if the Lord doesn't intervene, and he may see fit to carry them to heaven and make them well. Look, just because you're saved don't mean all your problems are behind you. But can I tell you something? In the midst of your troubles, let's depend on the grace of God. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's stay close to God. Hey, let's just dedicate ourselves afresh and anew to the Lord. And just say, Lord, whatever happens, it's out of my control. But Lord, by the help and the grace of God, I want a testimony that I please the Lord. And my whole sermon is this. Preach my whole sermon to get to this last point, and that's this. Enoch, watch this now. Enoch didn't part waters. And Enoch didn't walk around walls till they come falling down. And Enoch, he didn't sleep with lions. And Enoch didn't walk through furnaces. But bless your heart, I'll tell you what he did do. In a wicked and an ungodly time, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Now watch this. I am not going to part waters. I am not going to walk around walls till they come falling down unless I put them up to start with. I am not going to go through the furnace. I am not going to sleep with lions. But bless your heart, I'll tell you what I can do. In a wicked and an ungodly day, by the help and the grace of God, I can have a testimony that I please God. What's time going to say about you? Let's bow our heads. Lord, I want to thank you for the Word of God.